I understand you took a little journey and visited a place I think a lot of people would like to visit there in Florida. Can you tell us a little bit about what's up?
Yeah, sure. Well, I'm down in Mar-a-Lago right now. Had a great day with President Trump. And Mar-a-Lago is a private club down here that the president was telling me he bought it in 19, I believe it was 86 or 87. And then he turned it into a private club about 10 years later. He said it's the number one private club in the country, and it's just amazing. So it's a dinner club, and there's about 40 hotel rooms here, and this is where the president, I guess, stays when he's in Florida. And it's just beautiful, built in 1920. E.F. Hutton's widow, one of the richest women in the world back in 1920, built this, and it's just opulent. It's beautiful. It's right on the water, and just an amazing place to come visit and have lunch. And think the president's having an event for us tonight. He's a special guest at a fundraiser I'm having, and it's just really neat to be down here.
All right, so talk to me about the purpose of the visit, other than to obviously rub shoulders with a former president. We don't all get to do that, but what was the reason for the journey, and do you feel like it's mission accomplished, or are you still kind of in the process?
Yeah, well, I think the purpose of it was to come down here to do a fundraiser for our campaign, our reelect campaign this year. So we're excited about that. And a lot of Oklahomans have homes, second homes, do business down in Florida. And so they wanted to set this up, and President Trump was gracious enough to do that. And then I was able to have breakfast with him this morning, and then we played golf at Trump International, which was fun. And then I had lunch with him afterwards, and it was just great. Another great Oklahoman, Scott Verplank, a friend of mine from Oklahoma City, great golfer on the PGA Tour. He came down and played with me. And so we just had a great time.
So what'd you guys talk about with Mr. Trump? I mean, did you talk about, go over strategy? Did you just talk about kind of the state of the state or the state of the country, what's going on right now? Just kind of let me play fly on the wall for a minute. Tell me what you guys chatted about.
Well, he did most of the talking, which is great. He's got tons of stories and telling the stories about, dealing with the Saudis and some different things that he experienced. And then obviously how great the country was going. We were energy independent whenever he was president, and just kind of the different philosophy that this administration has right now that's just foreign. It's not common sense to us in Oklahoma how you would decide to choke off supply and buy oil from our enemies. So we just, talked about those kind of things. And obviously, he's engaged in politics still. Is he still, looking at the race in 2024 for himself? But he also is engaged, and there were tons of people calling and interrupting and coming and talking to him and asking about, the Ohio Senate race and a governor's race in this state. And so people, of course, he's still a very popular person in the Republican Party, and so people are still after his endorsements as well.
Which leads to the $64,000 and highly obvious question, which is, are you going to get an endorsement from the former president?
I've already got it. Yeah.
Okay.
He's released that maybe about a month ago or so. But strongly supports us for reelection and really proud of how Oklahoma was open and free and our economy's booming. And I was, explaining how we have the lowest unemployment in our state history now. We have the largest savings account. And I told him that, when he won as an outsider in 2016, it kind of inspired me that, hey, anything is possible. And if we don't have people from the business world stepping up to run state government, we're kind of doomed to make the exact same mistakes that career politicians make. And so that's why I decided to run and we kind of line up on those things.
So, and I apologize for not knowing that he had already endorsed you, but honestly, I'm just now kind of getting into the political thing because we're not even done filing yet, right? Isn't tomorrow the last day to file? I do believe you filed yesterday. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah. So, for people that aren't in politics, there's only 3 days to file for your candidate to run for either U.S. Senate or Congress or a state House position or governor. And it's Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of this week. So Friday at 5 p.m., all the ticket will be set. We'll know exactly who's running. And then it'll be kind of a sprint to the June primary. And so I'll know exactly who's running for governor, and we'll know who's running for U.S. Senate and Congress and all your state and House districts all your judge positions. I mean, everything in the state.
So last night I attended a rally with Senator Cruz of Texas and Senator Lankford of Oklahoma, of course. And Senator Cruz was talking about he thinks this is going to be a red tsunami, is the way he put it. These midterm elections, which, you know, for you, it's not a midterm. Obviously, this is your bid for reelection. But so what is the mood there at Mar-a-Lago? You know, you talked about how the president's getting all these constant phone calls and consulting with races all over the country. Does it feel like you guys are riding a wave that's going to, well, I guess, return control of Congress firmly to Republican hands?
Well, we think so for sure. I mean, Kevin McCarthy and the different leadership in the House and the U.S. Senate, you know, the House, I think they're, you know, I think they're very, very confident that that's going to flip back Republican. And then the Senate's got, it's probably 50-50. There's probably, the way the map looks, it's probably a little bit more difficult. But there's a really good shot that that would flip over as well. And but here's the deal. It's because of the policies of this administration. It's because of the left turn that the Biden administration has been doing. They've lost all common sense. It doesn't, they don't stand for Oklahoma values, I'll tell you that. I don't know where they're coming from on energy policy, on the border, on the Afghanistan exit. Inflation's at 40-year highs. They're hurting the common person, and everyday working people are really, really frustrated. And then you talk about the agenda about, you know, you saw I signed the Save Women in Sports bill. That's total common sense to us that we're not going to allow a biological male to compete with females, girls in sports and volleyball or weightlifting or track and field or swimming. And you've got this administration just kind of going taking a left turn that's so far foreign to most Americans that, yeah, we do believe it's going to be a great race for the Republicans.
Okay, so let's talk for a minute about your race. We know that our state secretary of education sort of flipped parties. She's gone Democrat, so she can challenge whoever in the general election in November. I know that we can work under the assumption that will be you, but you do have a primary challenger, at least one, and I'm referring to Joel Kinstel. Kinsel, I'm mispronouncing his name. He was former director of the Oklahoma Department of Affairs. He sort of on leave of absence right now, I presume, for the purpose of entering the race. Serious challenge for you?
You know, I'm going to take everybody seriously and going to work my tail off, but it's kind of the way I ran last time. I'm going to be very transparent, tell Oklahomans exactly what I'm going to do. We're going to audit every state agency. We're going to continue to have a business focus. I have 2,000 fewer state employees today than I did just a few years back. We've been holding the budgets flat. We've got the largest savings account in our state history, lowest unemployment. I cut taxes for every single Oklahoman. So I think Oklahomans are super pumped about where we are right now. And also, I'll put my background and my resume up against anybody that I'm running against. I was in the private sector. I started a company with $1,000 and a computer and grew that to 1,700 employees. And I think you need an executive and somebody that understands how to put a team together and how to manage a budget, because running the state government is a 33,000-person employee company that we are trying to be top 10 at everything that we're doing. And I'm so proud of our vision and how we're doing that. And so I'm not really, you know, talking really about my opponents. At this point, I know the Democrat side, they still have to win their primary before they get a chance to run against me.
Good point.
And they'll have to answer their constituents why they support all the crazy stuff that the Democrats and President Biden supports.
And that's fair, because I believe there are two Democrats, I think, that have fought. Yeah, Connie Johnson and Joy Hoffmeister. So I got to ask you one more. I don't know how we're doing on time. And of course, I'm greedy. I'll go as long as I can. But I did want to try and get this question in, which is, when you heard that Senator Inhofe was stepping down, did it even cross your mind for a second of, you know, being a U.S. senator wouldn't be a terrible thing?
You know, it actually didn't. People have asked me that all the time. But listen, I've got a young family, and I'm, you know, traveling to D.C. every week, because that's really what they have to do, to go up there every single week and be away from home. Just seemed like a hard thing to do in a family. And I put God first and then my family and then my job. And so keeping my priorities right are really, really important to me. And so I love being governor. I love being the CEO of the state. And so it really never even crossed my mind. I'll let somebody else do that. There's good candidates to choose from, and there'll be a process where Oklahomans get to interview and meet and get these folks on the record. But I just want to encourage Oklahomans, we have to put people of good character in these positions, and we have to have people that do things for the right reasons. And it's just so frustrating when you have corrupt people in public office, the people perish. And so we have to have high character people leading our state and our country, people don't do things for the right reasons. And so that's why Oklahomans, I believe, they know that I'm going to always fight for what's best for 4 million Oklahomans, never focus on special interest groups.
Do you think, or do you feel like you might be, you know, endorsing one candidate over another, like in the Republican primaries? Because the kind of the general consensus, at least among us evil media types, is that those races will probably be won in the Republican primary. Like, there may be a serious Democratic challenge for a U.S. Senate seat, maybe, but assuming that the Republican primary is kind of where the rubber meets the road, do you have a preference, or would you make it public, or are you kind of going to stay above the fray on that run?
You know, we're planning on staying above the fray at this point. Again, we don't even know exactly who's running until Friday at 5 o'clock. So then we'll make a decision. We've had all the candidates have reached out to us and asked us for an endorsement. And really that's up to the people of Oklahoma to vet those candidates. But obviously I will get involved if I think there's somebody that's leading that I think is not of good character and wouldn't be good for Oklahoma. Then I will let Oklahomans know. I won't be bashful about that. But if it's just between, one or two and they're both fine candidates, we'll just let that play out. But I'll let Oklahomans know for sure, because I know all the folks that are running, if I think there's somebody that's harmful for Oklahoma.
All right, sir, you just signed Senate Bill 612 into law. That, I believe, happened yesterday. Or no, that happened Tuesday. So it's considered probably the most restrictive anti-abortion law in the United States. One can only imagine that there will be legal challenges. Do you feel like it'll stand up in court? And would that necessitate overturning Roe v. Wade?
You know, here's what I've told everybody on that is, let me be very clear. We don't want abortions in Oklahoma. We want to make them illegal. Okay, I believe that's where the majority of Oklahomans are. That's where I'm at. That's where I represent all 4 million Oklahomans. So this basically made it a felony for a doctor to perform an abortion. So we know there's going to be activist groups and special interest groups from the coast that come into our state and will challenge this law, and we'll see what happens. But there's a plethora of laws across the country that are now before the Supreme Court to challenge this. And really, Roe v. Wade should be overturned. That's a state issue. Other states can do things differently. The Colorado governor just signed the most pro-abortion bill in the country. I mean, all the way up to birth. It's barbaric. You can abort a child all the way up to right before birth. And so, again, it's just unbelievable. But yes, I am very clear. In Oklahoma, we want to make abortion illegal. So I don't know how much more clear I can say it. I've said it from the very beginning. That's our values, and I was so proud to sign it.
So we have one other thing that the Supreme Court's going to be looking at here in the very near future, and that, of course, is the McGirt decision, or at least part of it. I know that Attorney General O'Connor will be there. I know that we've hired legal counsel from outside the state to argue that situation. Where are we at in your mind on McGirt? Is it, is it doing damage? Are we making progress in, I guess, rebuilding some bridges and trying to sort it out? Or just kind of give me a sort of an update on where you think we're at on that.
Yeah, well, first off, I think McGirt is disastrous for the state of Oklahoma. And it's a legal issue at this point. That's why, thank goodness, the Supreme Court is rehearing a case. It'll be on April 27th. But basically, the state has lost jurisdiction to prosecute crimes and keep law and order in eastern Oklahoma if there's an Indian involved. And remember, an Indian can be anybody with any amount of blood quantum. So you could be 1/1000. I've actually got my Indian card. All six of my children with blonde hair, blue eyes, they have their Indian card. So law enforcement can't tell who an Indian is, who isn't. And now you have a different set of rules for someone with an Indian card versus a single mom of a different race. And so to me, that's the most preposterous thing there is. We can't have two sets of rules in the criminal justice system. And we have people in prison for the same crime on the same day because they're the different race. And we've got people that show their Indian card that are out. And that's what I just keep saying is not fair. And I think Oklahomans overwhelmingly agree with me. So we need the Supreme Court to decide on that. Same thing on taxation. You can't have somebody with an Indian card not paying taxes and somebody of a different race having to pay state income taxes. Because, again, we all go to the same high schools. We drive on the same roads. So I'm fighting for one set of rules and for it all to be under the state of Oklahoma the way we've operated since 1907.
Have we actually seen people refuse to pay taxes because of McGirt, or is that happening?
Oh, absolutely. We have 9,000 protests right now at the tax commission. I encourage you to call the tax commission. Those are all working their way through. Somebody over in eastern Oklahoma just filed a federal lawsuit. They shouldn't have to pay taxes. This is a legal. These are all legal questions because they're pointing to McGirt saying that it's reservation land. And so then you go back and look at what is reservation land. So not to get too much in the weeds, but does everybody listening on this call right now, do they want Tulsa to be an Indian reservation? That's really the question. Do you want it to be under the state of Oklahoma, or do you want it to be under Creek rule and Cherokee? Because Tulsa split in two there at Admiral, and then east is Cherokee and south is Creek. The question is, do you want the Creeks to have control over zoning, taxation, et cetera, or do you want it to be under the state of Oklahoma? That's a really important question for everybody to ask themselves.
So, but I mean, do we have a choice in the matter? I guess, I mean, if the Supreme Court rules that's the situation, you know, what do we do about that?
Well, as governor, the Supreme Court said that for the major crimes only, the reservations exist, which I think they got it totally wrong because we disbanded our reservations. We all grew up in Oklahoma history, and for anybody to say differently is just not being honest with themselves. That we were former Indian reservation. We didn't have Indian reservations at statehood, but I will not be the governor that gives one inch, and I will not give our state away on taxation or civilly or any of the other jurisdictional issues. And we will fight tooth and nail to preserve the state of Oklahoma.
Well, sir, you have been so generous with your time. I appreciate it. Is there anything else on your mind or message that you want Oklahomans to hear before we wrap up?
No, I'm good. Just thank you so much for having me on. I just tell all my friends in Tulsa, I lived there for 20 years, love Tulsa. Grandparents grew up in Skytook. My mom grew up there, just north of there. And we have to be involved. So everybody that's listening are informed citizens and they're understanding the issues. I think that's so important to have healthy debates and conversations. So I'm just encouraging everyone to get involved and understand and meet the people running for office because it's so important to our country and also the state of Oklahoma to have engaged, high character people running our state.
Do you anticipate you'll participate in some debates during this campaign?
You know, I don't know. We'll talk to our campaign team, and I'm out all the time. I'm speaking everywhere. I'm on the radio once a week all over the state. And so Oklahomans know exactly what they're going to get with me, and hopefully they've been proud of how we've led our state and our economy right now and our business approach to everything that we're doing. So we'll definitely keep that message going, and I'll keep meeting with Oklahomans all over.
All right, sir. Thank you very much. And safe journeys on your travel home, sir. We appreciate you.
Hey, thank you. Thank you so much. Talk to you soon.
All right. Talk soon. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.